Now turn to our catechism question for this morning. It's question number 77 as we continue with the subject of baptism. Question 77 reads, are the infants of such as are professing to be baptized? In other words, are the infants or the children of believers, are they to receive the ordinance or the sacrament of baptism? And the answer to our question, the infants of such as are professing believers are not to be baptized because there is neither command nor example in the Holy Scriptures for their baptism. Now obviously this is one of those subjects or doctrines or questions that really divides much of the body of Christ and would divide many in their view of this subject of baptism. Those who hold the Presbyterian view would obviously believe in the baptism of their children based upon what they would call the covenant promises. But we believe, according to the Scripture, that there needs to be either a command or indeed an example for anything to be done. There's just some things we do that we're not commanded. For example, we meet on the Lord's Day, we meet on the first day of the week. There's no overt command in Scripture to do that, but there is a number of examples of the believers meeting on the first day of the week. So according to what's called the regulative principle, we must have at least one or the other. It's desirable to have both, but God in his wisdom has decided sometimes only to provide us an example and not an overt command. But when it comes to the subject of infant baptism, there is neither the command nor the example. Some would claim examples, but they are really at best by inference, and not even, I believe, are they on that level. Two scriptures here, and there's one other scripture I want to bring your attention to that I believe is helpful and is often used to support infant baptism, and I'll go there in a few moments. But first of all, to support the answer we have here in Exodus 23:13, really the first part of the verse, and in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. That's really the main part of the verse that applies. And make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. But it's just the positive idea that in all things that I have said, be circumspect. And the inference is, if God hasn't said it to us, it's not important to the same level as this scripture would say. But then Proverbs 30 verse 6 is the negative. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So we don't add to the word of God, because in adding to the word of God, we become subject to the judgment of God. Now, one of the scriptures that is often used, and I want to just, I think it would be helpful to spend 2 or 3 minutes just in the rest of our time looking at this. Acts chapter 2 and verses 38 and 39. I was only discussing this with Dave Carroll yesterday, so I thought it would be good to make mention of it here this morning. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. And this is one of the scriptures that is used in support of infant baptism. Peter preaching, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And the main argument, the key argument among those who hold to what they call covenant baptism, is that the children of believers are baptized based upon covenant promise. So therefore it's covenant baptism, because God has promised to you and to your children. And this is probably one of the key, if not the key, scripture in the New Testament that is pointed to in support of infant baptism. Now, if that is what this verse is saying, they have a case. But let's examine the verse very closely. The promise is the covenant promise. And he does say here, is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now here's a fundamentally important question to ask about this verse. You see the word call at the end there. Now we know in Scripture there are two callings, don't we? What are they? They're the outward call of the gospel alone, and then the effectual call of the Holy Spirit. Now the first question we have to ask here is this. What is the call here referring to? Which call is it referring to? Is it referring to the outward call or the inner call? The inward call, absolutely. It's referring to the inner call of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's not as many as the preacher will call, but as many as the Lord our God shall call effectually to himself. So if that being the case, which I believe it definitely is the case, then the promise is unto you, not generally to the people that Peter was speaking to, not everyone that Peter spoke to that day was converted. Many were. The multitude were converted. But it says, the promise is unto you and to your children, even to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Here's the point that Peter was saying. The qualifiers at the end. The qualifiers at the end. Yes, the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off. But who exactly is he talking about? All those who are effectually called by God. All those who are chosen in Christ. All those who have been brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the ones the promises to. So for those who hold the Presbyterian viewpoint, they don't understand, or at least they're not applying this verse properly. Because to apply this verse properly is to apply it to all who are effectually called. And even our Presbyterian brethren would admit that not every child of every believer is effectually called. They would admit that. Now, if that's the case, well then, covenant baptism, as they use the term, has no place. Because we can use the term covenant baptism, but it only applies to believers. It only applies to those who have been effectually called to Christ and who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So therefore, this is no support. In fact, I would suggest to you this morning that this verse actually disproves infant baptism. Categorically disproves it. Because it's to your children, but it's to your children only insofar as they are called by the Lord our God. So not all your children. The children who are called by God, they're the ones that the promise is to. Okay? So in conclusion, let us read the question again. Are the infants of such as are professing to be baptized, the infants of such as are professing believers, are not to be baptized because there is neither command nor example in the Holy Scriptures for their baptism?